But first, music critic Tom Moon. He's the author of 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die, A Listener's Life List. The book features Moon selections from a wide variety of genres, including rock, gospel, jazz, opera, and hip-hop. Tom Moon talked to Steve Paulson about how the words "before you die" in the title of his book really up the ante.
That's not to say that all of them are sort of rubber stamped by the critics and or the scholars and are going to be in the big time capsule when we look back on, you know, in 50 years. But the "before you die" part for me really clarified this idea that we do need to pick wisely and choose wisely what we spend our time listening to. And I think a lot of people, particularly young people, are really not oriented that way. And we don't know how much time we have left. And if we operate on the assumption that we'll get around to the great stuff and or the stuff that might be uplifting and challenging as a listening experience someday, we may never get to it. And we may find ourselves in a situation where our favorites, that sort of small playlist that is the hot one, becomes like our main listening activity. And to me, that's just the thing that's always happened to me since I was a kid was hearing something that I didn't know, encountering it completely blind, coming from left field, out of a store, on the radio, whatever, and having the conversion experience or the eureka moment that says, wow, this is amazing. I need this in my life.
So that's partly what you want to do, is to both cite some fairly obscure musicians, but also some of the popular ones that also people should know.
Yeah, because, you know, it's all good. It's not like we're saying here, you know, this is the cod liver oil of music, and you must know this to be an educated citizen. It's more like there's great music to be had that's just pure guilty pleasure giddiness and incredibly deep symphonic music that speaks of world tragedy and everything in between. But to get back to that life list idea, the sense that when there's so much coming at you, you're not always able to discern and pick out the things that do have lasting value. And it was an enormously challenging exercise to think about how I would equip a new listener, what needs to be in that person's back pocket. But as challenging as it was also incredibly restorative and life-affirming to say, you know what, in the great river of stuff that's passing us by every day, there are things that deserve to be in the time capsule, and there are things that people want to maybe think about in more depth and engage more fully than they do, you know, whatever the new release is.
Let's talk about some of the recordings on your list.
Sure.
Ray Charles, the best of Ray Charles, the Atlantic years. Why is this so important?
Well, Ray Charles, one of the great singers of all time, certainly a visionary in terms of building what we call soul music. And in developing the book, when we started, we said we would not have greatest hits anthologies. We would avoid that stuff because it's somewhat a cheat to say, all right, you know, here's X, Y, and Z greatest hits from all these artists. That would be an easy book to assemble in a way. But some artists are very tricky and their catalogs present particular challenges. And Ray Charles is one of them, where those early records he made, the early 45 singles that he made for Atlantic, are so important to everything that comes after, whether it's Little Richard, James Brown, Sly Stone, whoever. Everybody check those records out, Sam Cooke. And if you only have What I'd Say or one or two of them, what you miss is the sense of how many different worlds he hit in the course of one single after another and how many different ways he spun, you know, what his basic concept of music was. So that's one part of Ray Charles. And if you get, you know, if you're only going to get one record, that should be it, or some anthology like that. But then there's the other side of Ray Charles, which was as a more experimental figure and someone who was interested in extending what he did as a singer into different realms. And his work in Country and Western, which is the other entry in the book, which is called Modern Sounds in Country and Western, Volume 1 and 2, is almost more mind-blowing than the soul records, because here he is, an African-American guy who knows how to sing, understands the blues and a lot of music that came before him, and yet he's singing, you know, cheating heart songs that are not necessarily associated with him and personalizing them and making them come alive in a way that just blows you away.
Hmm. So if you were to pick out one Ray Charles song that illustrates either one or the other of these kinds of ideas, what would it be?
Oh, boy. I guess I Got a Woman.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman way over town, good to me. Oh, yeah. She give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of friend indeed. I got a woman way over town.
You can't go wrong with Ray Charles, though. It's one of those things where you pick out one song and then you can think of 10 others that would work just as well.
You mentioned Prince and how he spans all kinds of musical genres. What was your selection from Prince?
Well, I picked two. One is the soundtrack to Purple Rain, which was his commercial breakthrough. And then a few years later, he has this great double record called Sign of the Times. And both of them are incredibly electric records. I think you could make a case for Prince. First of all, he's probably the most gifted live performer we have. But in addition to that, you can make a case for him as being possibly the greatest assimilator in pop music history, or at least one of them. When you hear him, when you hear something like It's Gonna Be a Beautiful Night from the Sign of the Times record, you're hearing horn writing that comes out of the Duke Ellington tradition. You're hearing a rhythm bed that has a lot to do with James Brown. And some vocal stuff that reaches to Sarah Vaughan and goes well beyond his sort of wheelhouse as a singer. And this happens again and again and again through his catalog, almost on every record. And this is another case where he's really tying things together and bringing a lot of the music of the past into what he does in the moment. And I think that's incredibly important. It's something that artists today need to see and learn from and experience, because nothing exists in a vacuum.
Very different kind of singer is the Canadian singer-songwriter Sarah McLachlan. You have her 1997 album Surfacing. What's so special about this album?
A couple things. First of all, it's gorgeously produced. It's one of those records that you put it on and it just surrounds you. It has a very sumptuous sound to it. It has that aura of not overwhelming you, but actually sort of seeping into your consciousness, which records in the 90s, in the age of the CD, you find that less and less. So first, it's like a tone texture issue. And then on top of that, she's written beautiful pop songs that some of them have the lilting piano that harks back to the Beatles' Let It Be or whatever. And some of them are much, much more even spacier than that. And these melodies are true melodies. You can sit there and hear one of these songs from that record, walk away, be traveling down the street or driving in your car, no music on, and you can conjure the melody as an entire arc. And that's also something that I think is very rare in pop music now. A lot of these melodies are like itty-bitty two-measure phrases that repeat forever and ever. And Sarah McLachlan on this record, in a case of a song like Angel, it's like you can sing this whole long, extended, beautiful melody, and it can stay with you forever. And I think that's really a hallmark of great pop music, and it's something that we don't see as much anymore.
So tired of the straight line, and everywhere you turn, there's vultures and thieves at your back. The storm keeps on twisting, you keep on building lies that you make up for all that you lack. It don't make no difference. Escape one last time. It's easier to believe in this sweet madness, all this glorious sadness that brings me to from this dark cold hotel room and the endlessness that you fear. You are pulled from the wreckage of your silent reverie. You're in the arms of the angel. May you find some comfort here. You're in the arms of the angel. May you find some comfort.
Sarah McLachlan with Angel from her 1997 album, Surfacing. Tom Moon is the author of 1,000 Recordings You Must Hear Before You Die, a listener's life list. He spoke with Steve Paulson.